Today's podcast session is supported by Upheal. So if you ask a therapist who's doing clinical work what the bane of their existence is, usually progress notes are in the top 1 to 2. I'm not naming any names, but when I was doing clinical work, I remember I had several colleagues who would get so backed up on clinical notes, so they would end up spending their nights and weekends trying just to catch up. Honestly, who wants to do that? And this is where Upheal comes in. Upheal is AI-powered case notes. Now, I know for many of us, when we hear the word AI, there's like a natural skepticism. And honestly, I had that skepticism as well until I got to meet with the Upheal team and learn about some of the many ways that they are doing this in a way that is HIPAA compliant and also doesn't sell data to anyone and also protects our clients as well. You can learn more about Upheal and the awesome work that they're doing in the world by going to sellingthecouch.com/Upheal. And Upheal is spelled U-P and then H-E-A-L, all one word. And at checkout, be sure to enter the promo code COUCH25, C-O-U-C-H, and the number 25 to get 25% off your Upheal plan for the first 2 months. Hello, hello. Welcome to session 295 of Selling the Couch. I hope that you're doing well and having a good day. So we are doing something well. This is actually not brand new. We did a little bit of it last year, but we're doing something new with podcast episodes this year in that we're doing some coaching calls. I'm not an expert on many things, but I feel like when it comes to online courses and podcasting, I have a decent amount of knowledge and experience with podcasting. I've been doing the STC podcast since 2015, and we recently passed the 1.2 million download mark. And with online courses, I launched my first course, the Healthcasters podcasting course, back in 2015 as well. And we've been fortunate to have over 275 students go through that course. We actually passed the $250,000 revenue mark here fairly recently. And so I felt like these two areas, I've learned a lot, have had some massive fails. And we wanted to do these calls just so that I can continue to serve you guys and help you out. Hey friends, we are on sabbatical from the STC podcast. This is my first sabbatical in 7 years, but we will be back in April with brand new episodes of the STC podcast. In the meantime, there are a lot of things happening still with STC. Among them is a brand new workshop that we put together for you that you can sign up at a date and time that works for you. If you are a successful private practitioner and interested in launching an online course, you can check out that workshop over at sellingthecouch.com/online-course-workshop. Again, that's sellingthecouch.com/online-course-workshop. So today's call is focused on online courses. Our guest is Heather McKinsey from mckinseycounseling.org. And Heather was actually one of our beta students for online course school back here in the fall. An online course school was this live 8-week experience where we took an online course from a simple idea to actually validation, to planning out lessons and modules, to writing out the sales page, basically to get it all the way to the point where you're ready to record your course by the end of it and get your first beta students. And I reached out to Heather because Heather's, doing some pretty amazing stuff in the world of DBT and anxiety. And she has a course that is focused specifically on anxiety. And the course's website is over at dialdownanxiety.com. And Heather had this common struggle, which it is a common struggle. It's something I struggled with. It's something I think for many of us, we struggle with this, which is, okay, I have my online course, but how in the world do I market it? And where do I focus my marketing time and my marketing revenue, right?
are my marketing costs? And so that's what we're diving into today. And I hope that you enjoy today's podcast session or today's coaching call. So Heather, you said a bunch of really good stuff there. And I, one, like, mad props for even thinking you wanted to start online. I mean, this is like pre-pandemic, right? Yeah. And I just feel like, I'm kind of curious, like, I would think starting online already orients your mind to thinking, how can I like present mm-hmm. this in an online medium, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have that extra step of how do I go from traditional brick and mortar office to online to teaching online, you know?
Yeah, I think you're right, because I had already figured out some of those like things that needed to be adapted. Like, how do I share these tools? Learning how to use a screen share and the whiteboard, and I'm having props that I can show things with, even though I can't put it in their hand. So yeah, you're right. I think I was already having to consider some of those pieces.
Yeah. It's also really cool, like, how in life, there's certain skills that you acquire, right? Like, they become so valuable, right? So for example, I mean, you know more how to do stuff on Zoom than I know how, like the whiteboard and all of that kind of stuff. And I feel like that's such a valuable asset as you build your online course. So I wanted to just share that with you as well. And what is the course about? So there's, you know, you notice DBT, there's anxiety. So like, tell us a little bit about the course and we'll kind of jump into that question.
Sure. So I combined the stuff that I love the most, which is helping people understand why we have anxiety, how to treat it, and the DBT emotion regulation skills. Mm-hmm. It's one of the core modules of dialectical behavioral therapy. And they're very practical tools to better understand emotions and also regulate them. I also threw in a few from the distress tolerance module as well. So it's a really robust chunk of information that I'm offering in 8 weeks. I'm excited for the transformation that I know is going to happen through it.
Yeah. And I mean, I think what's so cool about it is, one, you've done this online, and then you've actually done this with other clients. And then it's also a model that's been successful. So it's like, I think it's so cool that you can weave in your personal sort of, you know, like, skills and even to some degree experience, like all of that stuff into this course, right? Mm-hmm. So the idea of the course is there. And then I know in OCS, I wanted to say, like, oh my gosh, it was so neat to see you transform this from this like abstract idea to, you know, mm-hmm. like, these are my modules and this is, you know, these are the lessons I'm going to create and, you know, all of those things. And so, one, I just so appreciate you doing that. But we're at this point right now where we're like thinking of marketing this course, right? Not just in the short term, but in the long term. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, that's the one thing that I need to create a plan for. So far I've done local marketing with therapists that I'm in connection with, and some national listserv and some Facebook groups that have therapists in them. And that's working fine. It's good. I've got a good core group that I think is going to be able to be part of the first class. And I know that's not sustainable as the main effort that I make. So in online course school, we talked about so many ideas of ways to try to reach an audience. And I'm just kind of overwhelmed with how many options, and I still have a full caseload. So I have limited time, and I really kind of want to get some kind of bang for my buck with where I invest my time.
Yeah, which I think that is that struggle that you're articulating so well. I think that's a really common struggle. I think a lot of our colleagues have. It's something that I had when mm-hmm. I first created the Healthcasters course, because I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you struggle with this. Like, it feels like every other day there's some new social media platform or something.
Where did TikTok come from?
And then everybody's on TikTok, like, what?
I know. Yeah.
And then right before that was Clubhouse. And like, it is, it feels really overwhelming.
A lot to keep up with.
It is. So, you know, for me, I think I wanted to acknowledge that overwhelm, because I think most people struggle with it. For me, I before even thinking about any of these platforms, I kind of take a step back and I ask myself a couple of things, like, mm-hmm. what are like my superpowers in terms of like how I teach right? Like, so for example, like, am I more of a visual teacher, right? So things like Instagram might make sense, right? But, or am I more of like a kind of one-to-one, not like strict lecture, but interactive? I feel like that's probably your wheelhouse, just thinking about, you know, like, because you're used to the Zoom rooms and those, you know, and the props and all of those kind of things, right? How much do you enjoy doing that, like, sort of, you know, like nerding out and thinking about the different, you know?
Yeah, like, I definitely like the interactive part and the kind of the live part is appealing. I'm thinking about what we talked about in online course school with like doing some workshops and that kind of thing. And I think that's probably the best way to kind of help people understand what I'm like and what it would be like to be in a course with me.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. So for me, like, and I, you know, shared some of this with you guys in OCS, but like, I think about like five core pieces of content. Now, the five pieces of content don't have to get built out, you know, like this year. In fact, what I would recommend is focus on one for 6 months and then go to the next one. But I'm going to give you kind of the order that I would do it. So in generally what I think about is I'm always looking to build like what I call core content or standalone content. So basically if this one piece of content were shared somewhere, someone would be like, oh my gosh, I got to bookmark this. I got to attend this live. I got to download it. Like, so that's a little bit different than like, you know, like one blog post, right? That it's, blog posts, I think, are a long-term, like SEO, that's a long-term strategy, but I take the blog post idea and I kind of like take it to the next level and I'll kind of articulate that. But so this is what I do for STC. Again, this is what's worked for me. I think you have to kind of figure out, you know, what sort of works for you. The first thing I did was webinars. And I created a slide deck that I could use for a live webinar, like a live workshop and an evergreen workshop. It ended up being the same slide deck, right? The reason I started with webinars is exactly why you what you articulated, which is I feel like when potential students or potential referral sources for our course, they see us and they see how we teach, right? The differentiator, there's so much information on any of these topics online, right? So the great differentiator is our personality and our style of teaching. Right. And I feel like webinars sort of cater to both. So if I were starting out, and this is again, what even I'm doing for OCS too, like I start on the webinar level and that's where I would probably focus like your next 6 months. So creating a slide deck, doing some, we typically use Facebook ads and, you know, I can definitely connect you with our Facebook ads person. But we drive traffic to the webinar signup page and then people, join and connect on that webinar. And then I teach on the webinar. And then at the end of the webinar, it's an invitation to either be part of the beta group or to sign up for the digital course. I know that's a lot of information. So what questions and what do you have for me?
Is this a free webinar that you do?
Yeah. So it's interesting. Thus far I have done free webinars, but literally last week I was on a webinar with an IP attorney that was like on NFTs and they charged $47 for it. And that was really interesting because I think that was the first one ever maybe that I had actually paid to be on the webinar. But then I started thinking about it from a business mindset too, because the interesting thing is it's a little bit higher barrier to entry, right? If somebody's paid for something with you, then they're more likely to continue to pay for something with you, right? So I might experiment and I'm actually leaning toward just doing low cost $47 or $97 intro webinars for that very reason, because I mean, I feel like everyone that's listening, you and I, like when we teach, we're not going to, you know, give a lot of surface level stuff. We're actually going to go deep.
Sure. Right. Next level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's, yeah. I would personally probably do like a lower cost of 47 or 97. What do you think about something like that?
Sure. So the course I'm doing right now, I was thinking I'm recording it for the participants. And so my thought is that I could take some clips of different lessons and have those lessons be one, an example on my sales page that's like free. Like, look, here's, see what Heather's like as you work with her. And then also I could do something longer that would be more of a paid, if you want the whole one class lesson on understanding the brain and how it impacts your emotional regulation. Uh-huh. That can be $17 or whatever, you know, like, yeah. So there could be some samples free and then some more robust, like for a small cost.
Yeah. So that's a really interesting thought. So let me just make sure I understand. So like on a sales page, you might have like, so personally, I would just do like one, like a sample, because like too many things I think will confuse people. Like, so it could be a section of, hey, here's a sample of what the course looks like, right? Now, the other part is, personally, I would stick to one core offering. Like,
okay.
Right? Like, so one webinar going to one course, because it's very counterintuitive. But the main reason is, I think if you offer a lot of different things, it can confuse people.
Okay.
Right? And then practically, the other side of it is, us as course creators, for every one of these courses you put out there, there's marketing, upkeep,
right,
build out, like, you know, we're, I think you and I are both about like ease and flow as we get older, right?
Right.
And so,
yeah.
So that's personally what I would do, one core webinar. Think of like a topic that really resonates for a lot of folks that are interested in that intersection of DBT and anxiety.
Okay.
Right. And then have that, so teach on that, and then have an invitation to the course at the end.
Okay.
So the reason I like the webinars are, you create the slide deck one time, you can turn, you can have it live, so you can do live whenever you would like, right? Let's say every quarter or every 6 months, whatever. But then you can also record it, right? Like kind of on your own, and then you can have it evergreen, right? Just kind of living on your site so people can sign up whenever. And then you can also direct traffic, like pay traffic to that as well, or free traffic, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of working both channels. So webinar is the first thing I always do. The second one I always do is like a downloadable guide or a cheat sheet.
Okay.
The main reason I do that, and again, less is more, like, so you don't have to write a whole novel on this stuff. Right. The reason is because like you're creating a warm list, right? People that are truly interested in that content, right? Mm-hmm. So you can then be like, hey, you know, hope you enjoyed the guide. And if you want, you know, further help, we actually have a free live webinar coming up, or we have a free evergreen webinar that you can sign up for whenever, you know.
Yeah.
Side note, it would be interesting, I think, be sure to like make a note of like what resonates for people. So some people like the word webinar, some people like workshop, other people like masterclass. Like, so,
Okay.
You know, workshop, for example, intimidates some people. So just sort of be aware of, you know, that learned language, right? So I've got webinar, downloadable guide or cheat sheet. And then what I do is I do like what's called like a core blog post. So one standalone blog post that's like blows people out of the water. Right?
Okay.
So this could be the DBT guide to, you know, X person struggling with high anxiety, you know, or the highly anxious person's guide to something, you know, right? So sort of this authoritative blog post. And within that blog post, what I'm usually doing is establishing what something is, teaching a little bit. And this is something I do, which is I might include like 3 to 5 videos in there.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
But then put those onto YouTube and then embed it from YouTube. So you're getting YouTube traffic onto the blog post as well.
Great. So smart.
So a little stuff that I've kind of learned.
Good, yeah.
And then that way people are also on the blog post, they're clicking, and then you're getting, download numbers on your YouTube video as well.
Sure. Right?
Okay. And then, so that's like the core three things. And again, 6 months, each mm-hmm. of those things. So don't do all of them. I think for mm-hmm. where you are, I would focus probably on the webinar. How does that sound, and how does all of that sit?
I think it sounds great. I was even thinking about how I ended up aware of online course school, because that's, you had the A to Z guide, and I read that and I was like, oh my gosh, it's so robust. There's so much in here. Yeah. And I grew confidence that I knew that I would get good help and support from you in the class. And then I watched your workshop that was evergreen.
Yeah.
And then I got the follow-up email and like, hey, saw that you liked the guide. We're starting this thing. Are you interested? Mm-hmm. And yeah, so it worked for me, and it also felt very authentic. Like this is all, these are good quality. He wants to help. He's not just trying to get customers.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the good thing is, 99% of us orient that way. Right. Which is
right.
Like, mm-hmm. it's really important. Like, I think, that is the actual really other interesting thing. I make all of those like such high quality because mm-hmm. I want folks to, one, if somebody never buys something from me, I want them to still walk away with something and be like, sure. wow, this is really helpful. Right. But two, like, I think it's these like higher quality ones are a great way to establish authority. Right. Like mm-hmm. you said. And then also, it inevitably, this has happened to me, right? Where you download a high quality thing, you're like, man, if this is the free stuff,
right? Like,
I can't imagine what the paid stuff is, If you can get that question happening in someone's mind, then it's mm-hmm. you've hit kind of a nice spot,
Sure. Okay.
The final two kind of things I do are, and again, this completely depends on what channel, but podcasting is sort of the main backbone of STC. So I would do like select podcast episodes related to a course that I have,
mm-hmm.
right? So for example, I might have a solo episode just on, how to record your first podcast episode, something mm-hmm. like that, right? And then the call to action, usually I will, won't have a direct call to action to the course. I'll usually have it to the webinar, and mm-hmm. then the webinar is an invitation to the course. The webinar, I feel like the more we're talking ends up being this like, I didn't realize it, but it ends up being such a valuable asset because you can, mm-hmm. You can release it in like different ways,
mm-hmm, right.
And it helps in different ways and it's just so powerful. So,
then for someone who doesn't have a podcast, do you recommend, I wonder how much it helps to go on other people's podcasts where like it's their audience and I don't know if they're going to really be so keen on some random person showing up.
Yeah. So, I think if you can get guest podcast interviews, it's perfectly fine. But again, to that point, there's a lot of factors that we can't control, right? How much they promote it. Let's say they stop podcasting, any of those kind of things, right?
Mm-hmm.
There is this other option, which is newerish in podcasting, which are called evergreen podcasts. Mm-hmm. So you might just create a 7-series podcast, right? And the call to action is usually I do a call to action to the webinar, right? Mm-hmm. And those kind of run on the background. And then typically you can do the same thing. You can run paid traffic to that evergreen, right? Either through Facebook or there's even, and this is something I'm still really new, so I'm not even going to say like I'm an expert at, but there's actually like ways that you can get paid traffic to your podcasts as well.
Hmm.
And so sort of the same principle. Again, these are standalone content that, you can run paid traffic to, but the podcasts are not essential right mm-hmm. now. I think for you, you've got the next year and a half kind of a marketing right, between the webinars and the guide mm-hmm. and then a core blog post,
Okay.
So
yeah, it sounds like a great roadmap.
Yeah. How does it feel? Like, I mean, how's all of it sitting? And let us know kind of the next step for you, what that would, you know, what's the next step?
Yeah, I think I'm going to, so the course starts on Friday, January 21st. So it's coming soon.
Nice.
And so I think I'm going to focus on that. And as I'm going through it, identifying, okay, this is what the students really loved that lesson. Yeah. And so I'll take a note there and then think about what I learned through that 8 weeks and compile a workshop or webinar, whatever I decide to call it, that I think would be most appealing and really kind of hit some of the main highlights.
Yeah. There's so a couple of things. So these are your initial sort of beta students, right? Like we talked about. And so
yes.
how many are there?
Well, so we're still gathering final numbers until Sunday at midnight.
Yeah.
But I've got three that are for
sure
and two that are considering.
Yeah.
And a couple that are kind of, we'll see.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a nice small group to really get rolling and feel like I am delivering good content and also that they're getting good things and help me to feel like, oh, okay, yep, here's the ball rolling now.
Yeah. I shared this with you guys in OCS as well, but I think like a low number, like a 3 to 8 is like perfect because, you know, especially at this early stage, you know, I'm a big fan of like running a pilot group before you actually create the digital version, right? It's a lot easier to refine that pilot version when you only have to worry about like 3 or 5 students as opposed to like 50, right? Because then you're worried about, you know, there's other factors, right? You can get more personalized feedback. So the other thing that you said is that just, you said when after each of these lessons, you kind of want to take notes. When I was going through the Maven Accelerator, they talked about eyes light up moments. And so in each of these like workshops, right? Like what are those moments where somebody comes back from like a breakout, right? And they're like, oh my gosh, Heather, that was amazing.
Right.
Make sure you write those down because I think those could be potential, like the content for the free webinar.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Great.
Cool. Heather, I'm so excited for you. Let us again know what's the website to learn more about the course?
Sure. So it's dialdownanxiety.com. And the course is called Dial Down Anxiety with DBT. And so that's where you can find more information about this module this course will probably be closed by the time this airs, but we'll be having more throughout the year.
Yeah, absolutely. Heather, really just excited for you. And, you know, I know that folks listening are so encouraged by you and just seeing the potential. I mean, we live in this amazing time. I feel like, man, it's crazy, right? Like, I don't know for you, but like when you're in undergrad or grad school, like, I don't know, I didn't necessarily think I'm going to be creating online courses as part
of
my,
not, right?
You know, right? But
I'm just trying to pass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. But here we are, right? And we're in the forefront of a lot of this stuff, and it's so cool. So, Heather, thank you again for doing this.
Yes, of course. Thank you for all your support.
Hi there. Hope you enjoyed the coaching call with Heather, and especially if you have been struggling with marketing your online course and just trying to navigate this world of social media and trying to figure out where to best allocate your income as well as your energy in terms of the marketing of your online course. I hope that today's podcast session has just been really helpful. Just to kind of review one more time. So I look at it as kind of a framework of 5 different tools or 5 different things that we can deploy in order to market our course. Now, I forgot to mention this in my conversation with Heather, but I wanted to mention it here. The reason that I selected these 5 is that all of them have evergreen potential, meaning that there's definitely work on the front end to create each of these, but they can kind of stand alone and they require a fairly minimal amount of upkeep in the long term. And so I like something like that versus like, for example, like a summit which I think is a great idea. I know a lot of folks have had success with it. The one challenge of the summit is you kind of have to show up like over and over and over again, right? And so I'm really trying to be intentional. I know that many of us are of building this life of ease and flow and in different realms of our life. And I think when it comes to online courses, that's definitely something to follow as well. So the five things again are starting with a webinar and either starting with a live one first. I would highly recommend doing live because you'll get an idea of what's resonating with students. And then once you've done a number of them, I probably did over kind of too many. I probably should have done this earlier, but I would recommend, I think I got close to almost 40 or 50 live webinars before I even thought about going evergreen. I would probably aim closer to like 5 to 10. Once you kind of got 5 to 10 under your belt, then you can just create a separate recording and have those as evergreen. There's a number of great programs out there where you can do evergreen webinars. We use EasyWebinar at STC as of 2022. And if you'd like to support the blog, the link is sellingthecouch.com/EasyWebinar. And that's an affiliate link. And then for the live webinars, we just use Zoom. And Zoom has its own webinar function, which is pretty handy. And then after the webinar, we go to downloadable guides or cheat sheets, and then a core blog post, followed by select podcast episodes. And then finally, we wrap up with a mini podcast. Again, this is just simply what's worked for me. I would encourage you more than anything. It's the same encouragement I gave to Heather. Think about what your zone of genius is when it comes to social media and sort of marketing. For example, I tend to be more of a visual person. So I tend to focus more on those mediums. I love writing as well. It's like a part of why I have a Facebook group. I have gotten more active on Twitter and all of those things. And so think about what that zone of genius for you is. And then obviously podcasts, I love doing those as well. So, and then kind of go from there again. And then the second piece of advice, I just wanted to emphasize this. Many of us, including me, can see like a list of five things like this and be like, oh my gosh, how am I going to do that? When am I going to do that? All of those things. And what I would say is just be gentle and kind with yourself. Allocate 6 to 12 months, depending on busyness and stressors and other life stuff happening, for each of these. So I would recommend starting out with the webinar format and then going into those other ones. And if you are a member, or if you become a future cohort member of Online Course School, we actually have an entire workshop on webinars and how to structure them and what's worked for us. And I actually gave all of the students my own slide deck for these webinars that we've done. At this point, I think we've done nearly 100 of them, live ones. And then we have a couple of evergreen ones working as well. So, if you are interested in being a part of the next live cohort for Online Course School, you can download the A to Z online course guide that Heather mentioned, which is over at sellingthecouch.com/online-course-guide. Hey friends, we are on sabbatical from the STC podcast. This is my first sabbatical in 7 years, but we will be back in April with brand new episodes of the STC podcast. In the meantime, there are a lot of things happening still with STC. Among them is a brand new workshop that we put together for you that you can sign up at a date and time that works for you. If you are a successful private practitioner and interested in launching an online course, you can check out that workshop over at sellingthecouch.com/online-course-workshop. Again, that's sellingthecouch.com/online-course-workshop. Have a great rest of your day, and I hope that you enjoyed today's conversation. Bye.
So if you've been listening to the STC podcast for a while, or you've been listening to podcasts and you've had this thought of, Mel, I would love to launch my own podcast in order to grow my business, just wanted to encourage you to check out our free podcasting workshop, which is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting workshop. You can basically sign up at a day and a time that works for you. It's 90 minutes. And when I do these workshops or when I record them, I truly believe in the quality teaching, so it's going to be well worth your time. We're going to go through gear recommendations and how to launch strategically and how to think about monetizing your podcast and how to line up your podcast with your existing offers and how to do it strategically and authentically and not salesy and slimy and all of those things. So again, the link is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcastingworkshop.